Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to solve one of the most annoying problems in drum and bass mixing. That moment when the drop hits, everything feels huge, and somehow the break turns into mid-range soup. The snare loses its identity, the hats turn into spray, and the bass and stabs eat all the definition. We're going to use Ableton Live Session View as a mixing lab, not as a place to sketch ideas, but as a fast, ruthless decision-making environment where you can be break processing variations instantly, while the bass and music keep running. The goal is simple: break clarity and a dense arrangement without making it harsh and without just turning it up. By the end, you'll have a break bus clarity chain, several clip-based break versions you can trigger per section, a few scene-based mix states like drop and breakdown, and a reference workflow so you don't get tricked by hype. Let's build it. First, set up your session view layout like a proper test bench. Create tracks for break, tops, kick if it's separate, snare or clap if you're layering, bass, and music for pads, stabs, atmos, whatever else is in the tune. Then group the drum-related tracks into a drums group. The reason is simple: you'll do most of your clarity work on the break and the interaction with bass, and the group will stay gentle, just glue. Now create three return tracks. Return A is a short room reverb using hybrid reverb, small and tight. Return B is parallel crush, like that in Y-style density, but blend it carefully. Return C is subtle delay or space using echo. These returns are just effects, they're part of the scene system later. Here's the mindset: session view is a single variable testing zone. When you're auditioning clarity tweaks, lock everything else. Same bass clip, same tops, same master level, same monitoring level. Only change one thing at a time per break clip. Otherwise, you'll keep choosing the version that's louder or brighter, not the one that's actually clearer. Now pick your break and set clip gain correctly. Drop your break into the break track, then duplicate it vertically so you have, say, 4 to 6 clips that are literally the same audio. We're going to turn those into purpose-built versions. Turn warp on. Try beats mode first, preserve transients, and turn transient looping off. Only use Complex or Complex Pro if you absolutely have to, because they can smear the very thing we're trying to protect. Transients. In drum and bass, smeared transients equals weak groove, even if the break is technically loud. Then set clip gain so the break peaks around -10 to -6 dBFS on the track meter. That might feel conservative if you're used to slamming drums, but this is how you make sure clarity comes from tone and dynamics, not brute force. Quick coach tip: if you can, use pre-FX metering on the break track and keep the input consistent across clips. If one clip is hitting the chain harder, you're not comparing processing anymore, you're comparing drive levels. That's a trap. Next, we build the break clarity chain with stock Ableton devices. You can do this directly on the break track, or you can route break into a separate break bus track. Either way, keep the chain in this order: EQ8 first for cleanup and focus, then drum bus for transient versus sustain control, then glue compressor for cohesion, then saturator for harmonic edge, then utility for width, mono safety, and gain staging. Limiter is optional as a safety net, not as a loudness tool. Let's dial starting points. On EQ8, put a high pass around 25 to 35 Hz with a steep slope to remove rumble, then a wide cut somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, to clear boxiness. Add a small presence bell around 3 to 6 kHz, maybe 1 or 2 dB, to bring back attack and intelligibility. And if the hats are spitty, look for an annoying zone around 7 to 10 kHz and dip it narrowly. Not a huge scoop, just enough to stop ear fatigue. On drum bus, keep it controlled. Drive somewhere around 2 to 6%. Punch very low unless you want it gritty. Then use transients. This is a key part of the lesson. We're separating impact from sustain. Push transients up, maybe +10 to +25, until the snare crack and break articulation return. If it gets harsh, adjust damp. Boom is usually off in DNB because your bass owns the subs. On glue compressor, we're not trying to flatten the break. Attack around 3 milliseconds so transients still punch through. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Set threshold so you're getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Turn soft clip on. That helps perceived loudness without spiking the meter. On saturator, choose a mode like analog clip or soft sign. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. This is edge management, not fizz creation. If you hear the top end turning into sandpaper, back off and remember, clarity is controlled, not crispy. Utility last. Start width at 100%. If the low end gets messy, consider base mono if you have it, or do a mid-side cleanup with EQ8 and then adjust gain so you're not clipping the master. Simple, boring, essential. Now the session view magic. Clarity validations using clip-based versions. Instead of one static break that you automate for the whole arrangement, you're going to create multiple break clips that are optimized for different sections. That means when the arrangement gets denser, you switch to a break version that stays readable without needing a fader move. Make four core versions to start. Clip 1 is your drop clean punch. This is basically the default chain. Balanced lows, modest presence, no extreme hype. Clip 2 is drop brighter. Add an extra EQ8 or adjust the existing one. Use a gentle high shelf, plus 1.5 to 3 dB from about 8kHz. If that creates a spike, dip around 4kHz slightly. And consider reducing drum bus drive a touch, because added brightness plus saturation can turn sharp fast. Clip 3 is the variation mid-scoop for bass space. Here use EQ8 and make a wider dip around 150 to 250hz, maybe 2 to 5 dB. This is one of the most effective DNB moves because that zone is where a lot of breaks carry body, but it's also where re-space and mid-bass texture live. Scooping it slightly can make the bass feel bigger and the break feel clearer at the same time. That's the kind of win we're looking for. Clip 4 is breakdown thinner or filtered. Add auto filter after EQ. High pass around 200 to 400hz, gentle slope, low resonance. Then you can send more to the short room return for atmosphere. It'll feel like the drums step back, but the groove remains. Color code these clips. It sounds like a small thing, but when you're performing scenes and making decisions quickly, visual clarity equals speed. Now let's create space using subtle sidechain. This is where dense mixes suddenly breathe without you carving everything to death with EQ. First, sidechain the break to the bass, subtly. On the break bus, add a regular compressor, not glue, because it's cleaner and easier for this job. Turn sidechain on. Set audio from bass. Post effects, attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release around 50 to 120 milliseconds, depending on tempo, for 174 to 178 BPM, you'll often end up on the faster side. Ratio 2 to 1. Now set threshold so you're only getting about half a dB to 2 dB of reduction when the bass hits. This is not audible pumping. This is micro separation. The bass gets definition, and the break keeps its identity without you pushing it louder. Second, sidechain the tops to the snare. On the top's track, add compressor, sidechain from snare or clap. Attack very fast, like 0.5 to 2 ms. Release 60 to 150 ms. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of ducking on snare hits. This is a classic DNB trick. The hats stay present, but they politely move out of the way exactly when the snare needs to speak. Now, drum group processing. This is where people kill their breaks. On the drums group, do gentle glue only. High pass around 20 to 25hz. Glue compressor with attack around 10 ms. Release auto, ratio 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB gain reduction. Optional drum bus with transients plus 5 to plus 10. But be careful. Rule to remember. Break clarity dies when the drum group is overcompressed. If you flatten the group, you remove the very transient contrast that lets the break read in a dense drop. Now we build scene states. This is the fun part. Create a few scenes like intro, drop a clean punch, drop a plus brighter, a 16-bar switch with the mid-scoop version, and breakdown filtered. For each scene, you're launching the right break clip and you can also change return sends. More short verb in breakdown, less in the drop. If you want to get fancy, use clip envelopes. In the break clip envelopes, you can automate send levels, auto-filter frequency, saturator drive, even turn devices on and off per clip. This is how you create arrangement level movement while staying in session view. Here's an arrangement suggestion you can steal. First 16 bars of the drop, use clean punch. Next 16, switch to mid scoop so the bass phrase evolves without the drums getting masked. Next 16, go brighter to lift intensity. Then breakdown goes filtered with more space and less transient emphasis. You're shaping energy and clarity together, not sacrificing one for the other. Extra coach move, create a calibration scene. This is a scene where everything is neutral. Default returns, no parallel crush sends, and your most balanced break clip. Anytime you get excited by a hype scene, jump back to calibration for 10 seconds. If it's not actually clearer compared to calibration, you're probably being fooled by brightness or extra ambience. Now let's talk mono and phase, because this is a silent clarity killer. Put utility on the drums group and map width to a macro if you like. While looping the drop in context, sweep width from 100% down to zero. Pay attention to what vanishes. If the break loses too much presence in mono, it's often side channel low mids, over white hats, or facey layers. Fix the problem area, not the whole break. And do this in context with bass and music playing, not in solo. Solo is a liar. Now a beat against a reference in side session view. Create a REF track, drop in a Pro DNB track in a similar lane, and level match it with utility. Turn it down until perceived loudness is comparable, not peak matched. Perceived. Then ask three questions. At lower volume, can you still follow your snare? Do the hats feel clear without ripping your ears off? When the bass is full, does the break still read as a break or just as texture? If the answer is it disappears, don't reach for more high shelf immediately. Go back to low mid management, transient emphasis, and movement-based separation like sidechain. Now a few pro options if you want darker, heavier clarity. Parallel crush return. Put glue compressor on the return with ratio 4 to 1. Fastish attack. Release around 0.1 seconds and crush it, like 5 to 10 dB of gain reduction. Then saturator with drive 3 to 6 dB. Then EQ. High pass around 120 Hz so you're not adding mud, and maybe a gentle shelf down above 10 Hz if it gets fizzy. Blend the send from the break subtly, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. This gives weight without wrecking transients. Try dark clarity, slightly less high shelf, but more drum bus transients. You'll be surprised how clear a darker break can feel if the transients are confident. And if the break is wide and messy, do mid-side cleanup on the break bus with EQ8. High pass the side channel around 150 to 250 Hz so the low mid width doesn't fight your bass. Keep the mid-channel snare fundamental, often around 180 to 220 Hz. Tidy with small cuts. One more sound design style clarity trick. A ghost layer for readability. Duplicate the break to a track called Break Ghost. High pass it aggressively, like 300 to 600 Hz, so you only keep snap and tick. Add gentle saturation. This audio version is shortened for playback.